The laws of Nefilas Apayim in chapter Kuf Lamed Aleph. If you noticed, after we finished the prayer, and again, the prayer, what we call prayer, is the Amida. That's called the prayer. Everything is a prayer, but the prayer, Tefillah, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Code of Law, is the 18 blessings, 19 blessings that we do while we're standing. That's considered speaking to God at that point. But if you notice, after the davening, after we do the Amida, we all sit down and we fall on our, we do it on our hands. That's called Nefilas Apayim. Originally, it started off, people would actually prostrate themselves on the floor. That would be a total prayer. It's called Nefilas Apayim, literally would be translated as falling on your face. And within falling on your face, there are various different levels of showing you're being subdued to Hashem, to God. You can bow, you can kneel, you can put your face to the ground, and there's something which is called Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, that you spread your hands out and feet. It means like it's total submission to God. That would be a form, and in other religions they practice it. Today, by the Jewish religion, we're not allowed to do that. Only in the Beis HaMikdash, only in the Holy Temple are we allowed to. On a floor, there's a verse that says you cannot put a floor, as we learned yesterday. So now, we learned in this first section, we learned that you do a special prayer. Now, what we do is, we do a section of Psalm. We don't fall on our faces, we sort of just fall on our hands. We cover our faces and we fall. That's the extent of, instead of falling fully on the ground, this is just a form of showing your submission to Hashem, and you fall and you cover your head with something. We learned that you do the shacharit. You do the right hand because you don't want to use the hand of the tefillin, and then you use the for the other hand for the Mincha, you use the left hand, but we learned that all in yesterday's. But today we're learning in Sif Beis La'achash upon Anafal Aponav. So after you finish and you say a chapter of Psalms, it also, we say one in the Ashkenaz Shul, they say a different Psalm, but that's a special beseeching of Hashem. So there's a special prayer. So we take a chapter of Psalms and we say that while we're falling on our faces. That's a special sort of beseeching and asking Hashem to help us out in the words of King David, who wrote the Psalms. So, but after you finish that, you raise your head. You should raise your head and you should be beseeching Hashem while you're still sitting. And that's what you see. Kol mokim u'mokim. Every place according to their tradition. Grab a sitter for a second. I want to show you in the sitter. You can grab a couple of sitters over here. Oh, don't everybody. What?
I'll see if they bring it.
Yeah,
they'll bring one for you too. Yes, they'll bring an extra. Okay. So if you take the sitter and you look on page. So the Amida is over on page 54. That's where the Amida is over. You say, Oseh Shalom. You step back three steps, and you say, Oseh Shalom, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't discussed yet in the Shulchan Aruch this whole section of the Tachanun, when we say, Yoshavnu Begadnu. What we're talking about is on page 55. We start with a verse. In the middle of the page, we start with the words, and then we fall on our hand, and we say this L'David, the chapter of Tehillim. That's from L'David, till Mikol Avein Yosef, till the end of Mikol Avein Yosef. So just for you to be familiar with, there are extra prayers that we do on Monday and Thursday, which whenever we read from the Torah, we do extra prayer. Which is the prayer starting from page 56, which we said today because it's Monday, Thursday, I mean, till from 56 through 59, and the bottom, till the bottom. This is addition, as you can see, it says in the top over here, it says for Mondays and Thursdays. If you look on page 56 through the page 58, it always says on the side, Tachanun for Mondays and Thursdays. So, okay, this is Mondays and Thursdays. So basically, so it's important to know that not on Mondays and Thursday you go, you skip, because if it's any other day after you do Nefilas Apayim, which is the chapter of Psalm on the page of 55, you skip through to the bottom of page 59, to Avinu Malkeinu. On Mondays and Thursdays, you add all those pieces. So technically, Nefilas Apayim ends with the prayer on 55 in the bottom, L'David, that chapter. And then we do Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu we do while we're still sitting. So you do Nefilas Apayim on 55. You finish the Kavanah Yosef, then you sit up. And then you go to page 59, you do Avinu Malkeinu. This you do, this paragraph, Tu Vayishiyenu, you do that while you're sitting. He says this different tradition. And then you get up on page 60, you stand up when you say Vanachnu Lo Neda till the end of the paragraph. And that's when the Kaddish, the Chazan says Kaddish. Either you read the Torah if it's a Monday and Thursday. If it's no Torah reading, you go straight to Ashrei on page 61. I mean, not 61, page 66. You go to page 66, you go do Ashrei. Did he read from the Torah or not? So here he says that the tradition is in all places. Minek Poshut, it's a, became a very obvious custom. Loimar v'anachnu loineida manasim. The verse begins, that's the verse on page 60. So after we've fallen on our face, after we've sat down, we said Avinu Malkeinu, then we say, then we get up. And what do we say? We say, Vanachnu Loineid Manasseh. What does it mean? We know not what to do. What does it mean we know not what to do? So he explains, Lifishi Ispalalnu Becholinyan Sheyuchal Adam Sheyispalal. We already prayed in all kinds of situations that a person can pray. We prayed Bi Yeshiva. We prayed while we were sitting. That was sitting. Uba'avmida, while we were standing. Ubenefilas apayim, we fell on our faces. Kasha also Moshe Rabbeinu olav hasholem. This was done. Where do we know that you got to fall on your face? Where does this come from? Because we find it in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher Moshe, peace unto him, also did when he beseeched Hashem, he fell before Hashem. Shenemar, because we find in the verse it says. In the verse it talks about when Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading for God forgiving the Jewish people, it says, Der Va'eshev Bahar, I was sitting on the mountain. And then it says, Va'esnapa lifnei Hashem, and I fell before Hashem. So basically the person is saying to God, I don't know what else to do. I've sat before you, I've stood before you, I've fallen on my face before you. What else could I do? Anachnu l'neida, I know not what to do. So, we don't have any ability. How else should we daven? We don't know how else to pray before you. So we don't know what to do else, what else to do. And therefore is, that's what he says, chatzi kaddish. Then you do the half a kaddish. And that's what you have in the Siddur. On page 60, you have the half a kaddish. And then you do Ashrei and Lamanatzeach. Ashrei is on page 66. And then you do Lamanatzeach, which is on page 67. So now, he gives you, in subsection 3, he talks about that there is a custom, Yesh Noegim, there's some that have a custom, Shein Noiflim Apayim El B'mokim Sheyesh Shom Sefer Torah. That you will not fall on your face. In other words, you'll do the prayers, but you won't fall in the Nefilas Apayim only if there's a Torah in the place that you're doing it. And the reason, similar Dovar, Bilchemes Ha'ai. We find a sign for this during the war that took place in the Ai. We read in the book of Yehoshua, it says over there, Vayipel Alponov Lifnei Aron Hashem. In chapter 7, verse 6, in Yeshua, Joshua, over there we find, he says that he fell on his face before Hashem. That's when Yeshua, they were praying to God for God's help in the war. So it says they fell before the Ark of Hashem. So you need an ark in order to fall. That's the sign for this. So if there is no ark, some people say you don't do Nefilas Abayim. Ubemokim Shein Sefer Torah. So what happens if there is no scroll? It's not just the ark. It's an ark with a scroll in it. A Torah scroll. But what happens if you don't have a Torah scroll? If you're davening in a place, you know, whatever, where there is not enough shul, where there's a Sefer Torah or Mincha, you're davening just anywhere. So then the custom is, so you say the same prayers, but you don't cover your face. So basically, you would sit down, but you don't cover your face, meaning you don't fall with your face on your hand. You don't cover your face.
Rabbi, the term for this prayer is Nefilas Hapayim.
Yes.
So
for the prayer when you sit down and fall on your face.
But I'm thinking of the word Payim. Panim is face.
You know, also, apayim is also the face. It's also the third, yeah.
Okay.
The
head is mouth.
Yeah. Okay. Just trying to look for another word of it. Usually the word panim, but in the Torah, Vayipa apayim arzo. Apayim means on the face. It's in the verses in the Chumash. In the Chumash. You know, really, af means the nose.
Yes.
Apayim would mean noses. But you brought it up. I'm not sure. Possibly that's where it comes from, because the nose and maybe apayim, maybe that's an extension of that. Possibly. I got to look that up.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
Yes. And when you mention the word yeshiva, it means sitting.
That's right. Absolutely. That's what you do in yeshiva.
Yeah.
Good, that's exactly.
Like that.
So what happens if you're in the Chotzer Beis HaKnesa, Psuch LeBeis HaKnesa, HaMispal Limbo? You know, a lot of times by us, we're lucky we get a minyan, But in some places, there's a lot of people davening, and maybe they daven in the courtyard of the shul sometimes. They're not in the shul, so there's no ark over there. There's no Sefer Torah inside in the courtyard. So he says that if you have a courtyard of the Beis HaKnesis, HaPsuch LeBeis HaKnesis, if it's opened to the shul, the courtyard is open, the shul is open to the courtyard, is HaMispalim Bok Shebeis HaKnesis Pasuach. So those who pray in the courtyard while the shul is open, the door to the shul is open, Noigim Leimar Tchina B'Nefilas Hapayim B'Beis HaKnesis. The custom is to say Nefilas Hapayim just like you would do in the shul, also in the courtyard, because you're open to the synagogue. Atzmai. Not when the shul is locked, it's closed, the door is closed, then you don't say, you don't fall on your face. What happens in the woman's gallery, the woman's section, or in the olden days they would always have it upstairs, or behind the mechitza. So he says, Ubeis HaKnesses shel Noshim, for this matter, the women's section is considered as one room with the rest of the shul. In Beis HaKnesses, Sefer Torah, together with the shul where the Sefer Torah is in it, it's considered to be all one section, even though technically it can be constituted as a different house. I'm not just, but in our times when you don't have, by us in our shul where it's an elevated area, it has a distinctive area, so that would be called. If you just have them in the shul and you have like a mechitza running inside the shul, that for sure would be part of the shul, because it's just like a sort of a temporary, just a separation, but there's not really, even though. But in any event, it's all called part together with the shul in which the Sefer Torah is in it. I feel in the pasuchla, even if there's no opening to it, it's just on the top, or not even sure. I mean, what does he mean, the Beis Knesset Shel Noshim? Does he mean like, let's say that the women have a totally different room, like where they don't even hear, they're not part of the minyan, or they're part, I'm not sure exactly in the here. But he says, V'noigim Lembay B'Nefilas Hapayim. And the custom is to say the prayers with falling on the hand. So the women's section is together. Avol Azorah Shalifnei Beis HaKnesses. But then you have the area in front of the shul is treated like the shul itself, which like the courtyard. I guess the courtyard is more the back of the shul. The azara is the front of the shul. So just like in the back of the shul, depending on if the door is open or not. So from the woman's section, the door doesn't have to be open in order for you to be considered one place. But the courtyard and the front of the shul, over there, if the door is open, then it's like the shul, then you do nefilas sapayim. If it's not, you don't do it. So let's say in our shul over here, if we don't have a Sefer Torah over here, let's say this building over here, and there's a Torah in the other building, we would not do nefilas sapayim. You need a Torah to be in this section. According to this view, that's the view we go by. Now, what happens is, he says like this, Afilu yochid ha-mispal be-basic, she-mispal b'shoshetzib mispal b'shoshetzib yochid lipul mom shom shenifim. What happens when you're davening by yourself? Let's say you're davening at home. What do you do over there? There's no Sefer Torah over there at home. But you're davening in the same time, you know, that when they're doing it in the shul, and you're davening at the same time, you're coordinating it to be davening at the same time they're davening in the shul. So even though you don't have a Torah in your home, you could, if they're, at the time that they're doing it over there, you can do it too. So even though you don't have a Sefer Torah, but the rest of the minyan is doing it, you can do it too. Because we considered it like you're saying, like you're doing with them. There is a very interesting rule. We know that there cannot be any separation between the Jewish people and God. Even if you have a metal partition, it doesn't separate. And by the same token, it doesn't separate when God is in the shul, because the people are praying to God at the time of the minyan. That means that God is over there, and you're praying to God. So even if you're in a distant place, you're really considered to be. The fact that you're distant and that you're not connected, that doesn't separate you. Because the rule is, Afilu mechitz shel barzel, einem afsekes ben Yisrael avim shebashamayim. Even a partition made out of metal cannot separate between the Jews and their Father in heaven. Which means that between the fact that you're on somewhere else, now that wouldn't qualify for a minyan. You can't have everybody home and saying, well, we got 10 people, everybody's home, and we have a minyan. The minyan has to get to you as long, that's why he qualifies this. Kol sheyesh asor b'mokam echad. As long if you have 10 in one place, so Hashem is over there, then no place out there is considered to be separate. So you can do nefilas sapayim while the shul is doing nefilas sapayim. As we learned earlier in chapter 55 in subsection 22.
Yes.
Good. Okay. No problem. No problem. Yeah. Do five more minutes. Okay. If you have to go, so you have to go.
I've had like 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
But first you said.
Which letter are we up to?
Today, 11:34.
11:34. Okay. Yeah, we'll do one letter.
So you say, how would you actually know if it's at the same time?
Okay, so by today's technology, it's not a problem.
Oh.
Today you have a camera, and you can say, Skype, or you use something
right.
So you can see.
Right.
Now, but I guess that's a very good question. It seems like you don't have to know the exact moment that they're doing it. That would be kind of stretching it.
Within that time frame.
But it's a very good point that you're bringing up. I would just expound on your question, just see what would be. What about if you're going ahead, let's say you got to leave, you have an appointment or something, and you can't stay till the end of the class or the services, and then, but if you're in a shul where there's a Sefer Torah, I mean, there's not a problem. Because they're doing it at that time, so that wouldn't be a problem. Okay, so don't forget it. I was trying to ask about that. That wouldn't be a problem. But the question becomes, how do you know precisely when they're falling on their faces? So apparently, that would not be a requirement as long as you're doing it while they're davening. That's what he said over here. If you're davening to the time... But he says you should do it at the time that they're falling. But I'm not sure. And that's a good question. Maybe let's say there's a window and somebody's telling you, maybe you're next door. I'm not sure if it has to be precisely in that time. Apparently it does have to be. That's
11:33 yeah. Was a very special letter you were sharing with us yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It had something to do with Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not sure if we did 11:34 after, but I know 11:33 was very special. So
okay. Yeah.
No, because what's interesting about that is you're saying if you're in another place, you don't do it.
Yeah.
But we don't say what the time frame is in another place.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. You got to look this up further.
It has to be done when everybody's doing it. You can.
No, but if you're here, if there's a Sefer Torah, you can do it individually as well. We're saying an individual who's not by a Sefer Torah during the time that the community is doing it, he can do it himself as well. But I guess the question is, Marty brings up, I mean, how are you going to know exactly when they're doing it? And does it mean in the general time frame? Does that help? But why would that help? I mean, I don't know. It has to be the time. I'm not sure. Let's do one more simon, then we'll do a letter of the Rebbe. In subsection 4, Ein nefilas apayim balaylo. During the night time, we don't do nefilas apayim. Mitam hayidua liyodim, for known to those who know. Usually when there is a Kabbalistic reason, an esoteric reason, which is not something very clear, he says, for those who know, no. Shouldn't fall on your face during that time. Generally, just to give you an idea, the night time is considered a time of judgment. When the sun is out, it's light, it's considered a time of more of God's kindness is more revealed. When it comes to night time and it's dark outside, so it's considered more severity, time of Gevurah. You don't want to beseech God during the time of Gevurah. You don't want to. I'm just giving you my own little, because it applies to various different things. We don't do tachanun at night time. There's a lot of things we don't do at night time. I told you the story one time also in the according to the Kabbalah, you don't give charity at night time. What does it mean, charity? I'm not talking about if a poor person comes and asks you, you give any time they ask you. Or if the yeshiva, somebody knocks at your door, asks you for the mason. But we're talking, you know, the tradition is that before the davening, we throw a couple of coins into the pushke. According to the Kabbalah, we don't do it before Maariv. Just shachrit amincha, but we won't go on our own and put it to the pushke. The Rebbe said it one time that he was davening Maariv, and the present, our Rebbe, and he threw in a few coins before Maariv into the pushka. And one of the people over there saw the Rebbe, and he says, how could you do such a thing? It goes against the Kabbalah, you know, against the teaching. How could you put money in the coin then? I heard the Rebbe relate the story. So the Rebbe said, felt really bad about it, that I, you know, violated the law. So at the occasion, he went into his father-in-law, to the Rebbe, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he told him that, you know, said that he made a mistake, and he put in, what should he do for... So, the Rebbe told him, his father told him, that the person that is so caring, and he's so incensed by you giving tzedakah before Maariv, probably doesn't give before Shacharis HaMelech either. I mean, so this is like, you know, like they say, if they're going to beat me for sin, let them beat me for whatever. This would be the sin I want to be. This would be my worst transgression for giving tzedakah before Maariv. But anyway, so he says here, lefikach im nimshcha tefilas hamincha ad halayla, if the mincha prayer extends to the night time, like you started the but it's night time already. Ain't lipul alponov. You shouldn't fall on your face. Yeshadalik avinu malkeinu k'de lipul mbeidyem. And we should skip the avinu malkeinu prayer in order to do it while it's still daytime. U'mekol mokayim. So he says, yet ain't lochush lozel b'vad elaylo avloy b'vein hashmosh. He says, if it's really night time, then you skip it. But during twilight, which between day and night, you can go ahead and say it. If it extends, go ahead and do nefilas apayim. V'noig lipul apneim b'leil hashmoides hoyil v'kodav l'yom. And it is tradition to do nefilas apayim on the night Ashmoides, we don't know what he's talking about, the Kodav Yom. Look up. I think it means earlier when it's early in the. That's what I got. Yes, some people do this slichas until the day is ready, and then they fall on their face. Okay.